It's my desire to live for Jesus. It's my desire to be like Him. Though often I failed and brought Him much shame, it's my desire to live for Him. If you could see where Jesus brought me from to where I am today, you would know the reason why I love Him so. Now you can take the world's wealth and riches. I don't need earth's fame. It's my desire to live for Him. It's my desire to help someone today, someone who may have failed to see the way. I too once was lost, then God found His way to me. Now it's my desire to live for Him. If you could see where Jesus brought me from to where I am today, you would know the reason why I love Him so. Now you can take the world's wealth and riches. I don't need earth's fame. It's my desire to live for Him. Now you can take the world's wealth and riches. I don't need earth's fame. It's my desire to live for Him. It's my desire to live for Him.
Amen. I hope that's everyone's desire that is here this morning. It's the greatest thing you can do with your life is to live it for Jesus. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Marcus. Thank you, Kirsten, for helping out in that and filling in Meredith's absence. And we certainly congratulate Brother David and Meredith on bringing another child into the world. And, of course, we get to benefit from that, another grandbaby. Amen? How many of you think grandchildren are wonderful? Say amen. 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 The rest of you need to get up here and get right with God. Praise the Lord for His goodness. Amen. You know, it is my desire to live for Jesus. There's an enemy. He's trying to keep me from doing that. How about you? You have any trouble with him through the week? He's real. Amen. That's right. But greater is He that's within you than he that's in the world. Amen. Amen. God has given us the resources to live the victorious Christian life. You have your Bible open to 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, and Pastor BJ read in you here in the scripture that was read last week, and I laid some foundation. I want to continue and building upon that foundation this morning, and then right on through the remainder of the month, we're going to be talking about the shepherd and his sheep, the pastor and his flock, and just the church as a whole. There's a lot of misconceptions about the church. I appreciate what Brother David Thompson said. That's one misconception. Well, you know, I don't have to go to church. I'll just watch it on TV. Well, you see how that works for you. Amen. Now, I'm glad that there's outlets and media outlets that we can have when there's sickness and there's emergencies, aren't you thankful for that? Amen. That we can still get the Word of God that's brought to us through different media outlets. But it's God's will for every saved person to be a part of a local, New Testament, autonomous, indigenous, Bible-believing church. Amen. That's God's way now. That's the Bible way. And we believe that, and obviously you do too, because you're here this morning. So I want to talk with you a little bit about, within that structure, what's His plan for the church. Well, I want us to look at a few things, and I'm going to change directions just a little bit from last week, but we're going to kind of talk a little bit about the sheep more than the shepherd. Now, last week, we talked a little more about the shepherd than we did the sheep, but I'm going to mention both. So let's look back into 1 Peter chapter number 5. Notice, if you would, some of the wording here. If you mark in your Bible or if you keep notes, there's three things that we're going to notice from these four verses of Scripture. The first thing we're going to notice, and we'll look at that in detail today, and that is the role of a pastor. Now, I asked you last week to take out a piece of paper and to write down what you thought the role of a pastor would be, and I think it would be interesting if we were to have some to come up and read what they think, what the role of a pastor is. I got to tell you, I've met some pastors that didn't even know what the role of a pastor was. And so we need to find out what God says the role of a pastor is. And then the second thing we're going to find out from this section of Scripture, now there's other scriptures that we'll use to build on these thoughts, and that is the responsibilities of the pastor. Let me show you what I'm talking about. In chapter number 5, in verse number 2, here's what Peter said. He said, after he describes the role, and we're going to talk about that in just a moment. In verse number 2, he said, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, not as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. Now, these are responsibilities, and we're going to break those down in the days to come, weeks to come. Then we talked about in verse number 4, the rewards of the pastor. Okay, verse number 4 says, and when the chief shepherd. Now, as a pastor of this flock, I'm the under shepherd. I'm not the chief. All right? Jesus is the chief. Somebody say amen with me. Amen. Jesus is the head of the church. I'm the under shepherd. You're to follow me as I follow him, and we're going to talk about that. When the chief shepherd shall appear, verse 4, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth, and I like this part, not away. Now, when I was younger, I was able to do a little sports. And I wasn't very good, but I was good enough. Listen, back when I played sports, you didn't get a participation trophy. Everybody say amen right there. Listen, if you didn't excel, you didn't get a trophy. That's right. And I got a couple, but I wasn't all that good, but I was good enough to get a couple of trophies. You know what? They faded away. They've gone. I couldn't find them. If somebody were to ask me to bring them, present them, you say, well, maybe you never got them. Oh, no, I got them. You say, maybe it was in your mind. No, I had them. I got pictures of them. Amen. I'm not going to convince you, am I? Listen, what I'm trying to tell you is those things fade away. But can I tell you, God's going to give us a reward one day that's not going to fade away. You say, why is that important? Well, you come on some Sunday mornings and Sunday nights, and we're going to teach why it's important that we gain rewards, because we're going to be able to do something with those rewards, and it's not going to be for us. It's going to be for the glory of God. So we have those three things. Did you mark it down? The role, the responsibilities or the requirements, and then the reward. Now let's build on that role. We talked about it last week. I want to notice some things with you, and I want you to take note of them. When in verse number 1, there's a word, it's elder. You see that? He said in chapter 5, verse 1, the elders which are among you I exhort, who also am an elder. That's a very interesting word. And we talked about last week how that word speaks of maturity. It speaks of counsel or consultation. You ought to be able to sit under a man who can give you some wisdom. The Bible says in the mouth of many counselors there's wisdom. The mouth of many counselors, matters should be established. God wants us to be able to sit under a pastor, under an elder, under someone who has spent time in the Word of God and has gotten wisdom from the Word that he can depart to you in a time of consultation. Now, most counseling should come right here from this sacred desk. Amen. Amen. So he said elder. And so that's speaks of the roll. That's a roll. Now, there's another word, and I want you to mark this word, and this is one that we're gonna look at a little closer this morning in chapter number 5 and verse number 2. See that first word there? Feed. Very interesting word. Now, I want you to notice what Peter did not say. He did not say reproduce. You say, well, you know, preacher, every preacher ought to be a soul winner. You know it. Every preacher ought to be a soul winner. Amen. But did you know the Bible puts just as much emphasis on watching and warning as he does on winning when it comes to the pastor? Did you know that? Yeah. That's right. Now, I'm to be a soul winner. But guess what? You are too. You say, oh, now, preacher, this is not about me. You said you were going to talk about the shepherd. Well, we're going to talk about the sheep, too. And just in the event, someone would be sitting here today and say, well, today the preacher's going to be talking about the pastor. This is Pastor's Appreciation Month, and the preacher's going to be talking about the pastor. Let me show you something that I hope will help engage you in the message this morning. Notice, if you would, in verse number 3, and right in the middle there it says, but being in samples to who? The flock. The flock, that's you. Now, why am I to be an example to you? I'm to be an example to you so you can learn from me what God wants us to do as Christians. Amen. 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 So as I go out and witness to souls, guess what? You ought to follow me and go win them too. As I get involved in the ministry of the church and the love and the care of the church, you ought to follow me and help and get involved in that too. We as believers are to get involved in the service of God. See, there are some who have this fallacy, this erroneous mindset. Well, we pay the preacher to win souls. First of all, you don't pay me. You give your tithe, and God from his tithe takes care of me. Now, I'm so very grateful that we belong to a church that knows how to take care of their pastor and their pastors and their people. Say amen. I'm very grateful. My family and I are grateful for that. And as we shall see later on in our study, I do not do it for that. Listen, if the only reason a man preaches is for money, he needs to get out. Amen. Amen. Get him an honest job. Say amen now. Amen. And so here the scripture says in verse number 3, it says, being an example. I'm to be an example to you to show you how God wants us to do it from his word. From his word. Now, if you'll notice that word feed there, it says that we're to feed, we're not to reproduce only. There's a greater responsibility once that person has been saved. It's my job, it's our job to disciple, to feed the flock of God. Now, I learned some things from this, and I want you to follow me closely. When the Spirit of God told Peter to write this, this was very similar to what Jesus told Peter after Peter had betrayed or denied him. And he met him there on the shore of Galilee, and he began to search and to challenge his heart. And he said, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? And he said, you know I do, Lord. He said, feed my lambs. Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Yes, Lord, you know I do. And he said, feed my sheep. Now, what's he saying? You see that word elder that I asked you to underline, that word comes from a word presbyteros, which means, it means maturity, counsel. But this word feed gives us our word pastor or shepherd. Now listen carefully. I want to hone in on this. If I'm a shepherd, who am I to feed? Look at what he said. The flock of God. Now who is the flock? What flock does a shepherd oversee? A flock of sheep. So I want to hone in on that a little bit this morning. Your sheep. Your sheep. All through the Bible refers to God's people as sheep. Sometimes it refers to people as sheep. But all through the scripture, the Bible says you're sheep. Now, there's some things I want you to know about sheep, and we've done some study on sheep, but I want you to write this down. Would you write this down? First of all, as I study sheep and their characteristics, now I think it's very interesting that God, through Peter, spoke about sheep, shepherds, and shepherding. Why? Because people in this day, they knew how to relate to this analogy. Many of them made their living tending sheep. They were shepherds. They could relate readily to this analogy that God is drawing here through Peter. And so when Peter mentioned this, it immediately got people's attention. Now, one thing about sheep that I've learned in my study of the scripture and from talking to sheep farmers is that sheep, write this down, sheep are wayward. Okay, they have a waywardness about them. Did you know, I have done this, and some of you have too, you can take an old dog and try to get rid of him. You say, "Oh, preacher, you ought not do that." Well, don't be too mad at me, amen. When we was kids, we done a lot of things we shouldn't have done. You take an old dog and try to get rid of him, put him in the car and take him somewhere and drop him off. And I'm going to tell you something. I've done this now. We tried to give our dog away to our aunt and uncle. And before we got back home, that dog, we made a couple of stops. That dog had already made its way back home. A dog can find his way home. You try to get rid of an old goat. An old goat can find his way back home. But I'm going to tell you something. A sheep will not find his way back home. All we like sheep have gone astray. Listen to me now. We've wandered everywhere. Right? Wandering. Every man has gone. We've gone astray. Actually, if you'll take your hand here and turn back to 1 Peter chapter 2, look if you would in verse number 25. Peter brought this up earlier. He said, you know, we sheep, we just go away. You know, when you read in the scripture about sheep, many, many times that's what the Bible's telling us. They're going away. They're going away. They're going away. Here in 1 Peter chapter 2, the Bible says in verse number 25, "For ye were as sheep going astray." Going astray. Why? Sheep are wayward. There's a waywardness about us. Just going away. Just going away. And so we need to understand that about ourselves. You know, the songwriter put it this way, even as a believer, prone to wonder. Lord, listen to me now. You know what I'm saying? Oh, preacher, I got this thing down. You listen to me now. You need a shepherd of your soul. You need somebody to help you. I need somebody. We need somebody to help us. I can do this, preacher. I got this. Listen, no man liveth unto himself, and no man dieth unto himself. Now, God never ordained. Now, hear me now. God never ordained that the sheep be alone. God puts the sheep in the sheepfold. Study John chapter 10. Study the scripture. God's got the sheep and the sheepfold. Now, in this analogy, in 1 Peter chapter 5 and throughout the scripture, the sheep are a picture of God's children. But now, the flock, see, he didn't say feed the sheep. Look at what, back in 1 Peter chapter 5. In verse number 2, he said feed the flock. Who's the flock? Here we are. You're my flock. Now, ultimately, we're all God's flock. He's the chief shepherd. But God has put this flock, this local assembly, this flock under the care of me as the under-shepherd. Amen. And I'm to watch for your souls. I'm to feed you. And I'm going to talk to you about that some. See, sheep are wayward. You need a church. You say, "Oh, preacher, I don't need the church." Yes, you do too. Every sheep needs a sheepfold. Every sheep God puts in the flock. I'm going to do it myself. Hey, you're going to mess up. Now hear me now. You're going to mess up. How many have messed up by getting away, wandering away from the fold? Wandering away from the fold. Left out there to themselves. There is security. There is confidence. There's help. There's encouragement in the flock. So, when he says here, feed the flock, first of all, you must see yourselves. I must see myself. We're sheep. Number two, the flock, I believe with all of my heart, speaks of the sheepfold, which could very well be the local church. The local church. Can I tell you that it's God's will for every Christian to have a pastor? Amen. It's God's will for every Christian to be a member of a local New Testament Bible-believing church. That's God's will. He said, "I'm going to go over here for a while, then I'm going to go over here for a while, then I'm going to go over here for a while. I'm just going to do musical churches." You're going to mess up. You're going to mess up. And I'm trying to help you. Actually, part of my responsibility, as we shall see if time allows us today, is to warn you. I'm to win, I'm to watch, but I'm also to warn. And I'm warning you today now, if you take this matter of the local church lightly, there's a price to pay. Why? Well, you don't have to go too far in 1 Peter chapter 5. You look down in verse number 8. Peter said, there's an enemy out there. There's an adversary. And he said, be sober. 1 Peter 5:8. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's coming after you. Sheep are wayward, but they're also weak. And the old devourer comes after you. And that old devourer sees that sheep that has wandered from the shepherd of his soul, that shepherd of his care, got away from that flock, and out there in his own, that's when that old devourer comes out there. Listen to me now. He comes out and he pounces on that little sheep. He grabs that little sheep and he ravishes that little sheep's life. Why? Because there was no protection and that sheep is weak. There's animals that have claw and animals that have sharp teeth. The eagle with his swiftness and the lions and the bears with their strength. The cats with their speed and their claws, and the skunk, well, you know what the skunk's got. Can I tell you that God has built a defense mechanism in almost every animal, but not the sheep. Don't you think, listen, don't you think the sheep have no safeguard? Thank God the sheep have a shepherd. Amen? The sheep have a shepherd. And so here we find where the sheep are wayward, the waywardness of the sheep. But then when I think about when he says feed, that means shepherd. Feed the flock of God. Shepherd that flock. Care for that flock. That not only means to that because they're wayward, you got to be with them, because they're weak. Weak. But can I tell you, when God looks at me, God doesn't see me as either one of those now. I'm saved. I'm part of the sheepfold. You know how God sees me? Worthy. Amen. Did you know that there's worth in sheep? Did you know that? Did you know when Peter said, feed the flock, when people thought of that, they thought, you know, those sheep, they reproduce. Them little lambs. Amen. Amen. Physically and spiritually. Amen, Brother David. Amen. They reproduce those lambs. You say, what value is a sheep? Oh, I don't know. You ever had any sheep clothing made out of sheepskin, the fleece of a sheep? Amen. What about the milk of a sheep? The meat of a sheep. You ever ate a lamb chop? You say, y'all not talk about lunch this close to 12 o'clock, preacher. Well, all right. See, there's worth, there's value. Can I tell you that if you'll study the Old Testament, you'll find that a man's wealth, his social status, many times, it was weighed on the number of herd of sheep that he had, the flock. So, oftentimes when people think of sheep, they do think of waywardness and they think of weakness. But I'm glad when God thinks of us, he thinks of worthiness. Amen. God has made us worthy. Why? Because I'm a child of the King. That's why. I belong to him. I'm part of his flock. How about you? Amen. So we find, he said, feed the flock of God. When I look at this, I seen the word shepherd. It speaks of the ministry. It's a ministry. It's caring for the sheep. It's helping the sheep. Did you know that there's not a person that's ever been saved that can make it on their own? There are people that think they can. Oh, they live like, oh, I don't need a preacher. I don't need a church. I don't need counsel. I don't need my parents. I've got this thing. Those people usually end up in dire straits. Somewhere in trouble. God has made life so that we need others. Hasn't he? Yes, he has. And so when he said, feed the flock of God, he's saying, they're sheep. They're sheep. Sheep need guidance. Sheep need guard. Sheep need growth. That's why he said, feed them. They need growth. Let me show you what another man said. Turn back, if you would, to Acts chapter number 20. We have the Apostle Paul weighing in on this thing of the elders and the shepherds and feeding the flock of God. Paul had been in Ephesus for, about 3 years. And Paul is now getting ready to sail from Miletus. And if you'll notice in verse number 17, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus. I'm in Acts chapter 20 and verse number 17. I'm talking to you about the sheep and the shepherd. I'm talking to you about the responsibilities, the role of a shepherd as it has to do with the sheep, and that's you. What's my role to you? What's your role to me? Well, let's see what the Bible says here. What does the Bible say? You say, well, preacher, I've got my own preconceived ideas. That's not going to stand up in heaven. We need to know what thus saith the Scripture. What does God say? Well, look at it. Chapter number 20. Notice, if you would, in verse number 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for, and there's our group of men right there, our elders. The elders of the church, that wise group, that group that can give counsel. He called for them. That group that God had made under shepherds and overseers. And here's what he said in verse number 18. Look at it. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. When I read words like that, it brings me under deep conviction. I hope every preacher, every God-called teacher, every person that's in teaching and preaching ministry, when we read something like this, it ought to bring us to a place where we say, God, help me. God, help me. I want to be that. I don't want to preach and teach with an arrogance. I don't want to preach and teach with an attitude. I want to have a burden. I want to have a humble spirit before the Lord, realizing I cannot do it without God. Amen. Look what he said here. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit into Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Paul said, listen, I know this thing of being a preacher. I know this thing of being a pastor. I know this thing of being an elder is not all cruising and easy going. There's hard places in ministry. Can I tell you, there's hard places in being a Christian? Amen. So, well, you know, I think I'm going to get saved, so all my problems will go away. Well, the Bible nowhere teaches that. I think I'm going to get saved, so I can just kind of coast on into heaven, preacher. No more battles, no more downfalls, no more defeat. The Bible nowhere teaches that. But I will tell you this, whatever you face in life as a Christian, thank God Jesus will be there with you. And if you'll become a part of a church, a flock, there will be a church family that will pray with you, as we heard this man this morning get up, and many more we've heard stand up and say, I want to thank the church for praying for me. I want to thank the church for coming to me in a time of sadness, or in a time of badness, or a time they came and stood beside me. How many of you that's a part of a local church, whether it be this church or another church, and there's been a time that you were in dire straits and the church, the flock, came and stood by your side? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Stood by you. Raise it high. Y'all, listen, make the devil mad. Hey, man, don't do it if it happened, but if it has, raise your hand. Make the devil mad. Amen. The church, brethren. Jesus shed his blood for the church. Notice, if you would, what it says in verse number 25. He said, And now, behold, I know that y'all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Now watch it now. Here we go. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Now I want to stop right here and say something. Back in 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter said, as sheep, you need to be fed. Now you're here today for a number of reasons. But you're here today because you need this shepherd to feed you. You'll come back tonight because you need a feeding. You say, I don't need to be fed tonight. Yes, you do too. You'll come back Wednesday night because you need a feeding. I don't need a midweek feeding. Yes, you do too. We need regular feedings. Amen. We need to be fed. And listen, you say, well, I can feed myself. Well, you ought to be able to do that, but I'm going to tell you what God said. God told the man of God, feed the flock of God. Did he say it, brethren? Man. Feed the flock of God. Now, I have made it a point in my ministry that God has given me, and I believe the ministry that God has given me is a God-ordained ministry. I preach this book. I went back this past week, and I began to look back at all the notes that I've taken. I have preached through, by the grace of God, 32 of the 39 books of the Old Testament and all 27 books of the New Testament. Preached right through them. Why? The whole council, brethren. Look at that verse of scripture, if you would, in Acts chapter 20. He said, I have declared the whole council. You can't feed the sheep on sparse, spare things. You got to feed them the whole council. All of it. Amen. Listen to me. All of it. The sheep need all the word of God. What they like, what they don't like. What they need, what they don't think they need. Sheep need all of the word of God. Why? Because all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable. And if it's profitable, the man of God ought to stand up and preach it. Amen. Preach the word, Paul told Timothy. Preach it. Preach it. Be instant, in season, out of season. Timothy, don't you stop preaching the Bible. And by the grace of God, I will not cease to preach the whole counsel of God. And if I do, get rid of me. Amen. Any man that won't stand and preach the whole counsel of God, listen, he's not fit to be a pastor. He's not fit to stand behind the sacred desk and declare what thus saith the Lord. Say, preacher, I want you to ride my hobby horse. Listen, leave your hobby horse at home. We're going to open up this book and preach what thus saith the Lord by the grace of God. Amen. You with me, church? Amen. We need all the Bible. All of it. If God says it's sin, it's my responsibility to tell you it's sin. If God says it's so, it's my responsibility to tell you it's so. Amen. If God said, get to doing it, it's my responsibility to tell you, get to doing it. If God said, stay away from it, it's my responsibility to tell you, stay away from it. Amen. And if I don't, the curse of God will be on my life. And if you don't, you will suffer. If I do not tell you what God says, I'll suffer. But if I tell you what God says and you don't do it, you'll suffer. In Acts chapter number 20, I got so excited I lost my place. Hey, this is serious business, brother. I take this serious. In Acts chapter number 20, look at it there. He said, I declare unto you the whole council. The whole council. We've been going through the book of James. We've been through the book of Mark. We've been through the book of Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Jude, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Listen, every book, just the whole council. Just tell it all. Amen. Look what he said here in verse number 28. You with me? Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. Now, preachers, this is to us. You ought to take heed. Why? Don't miss it now. And to all the flock. See, as the elder, as the shepherd, I'm to take heed for you. Why? Well, let's see what he said. Take heed to yourself first. The devil's trying to trip you up. Preacher Freeman, the devil wants to trip you up. The devil wants to make a disgrace and a reproach out of you. By the way, he wants to do that to every God-fearing preacher. You ought to pray for God-fearing preachers. You ought to pray for men that'll stand and preach the Word of God. Amen. Pray for them. Evangelists, missionaries, pastors, pray for God's men. It's the only hope for our country, brethren. It's the only hope for this cursed world is Bible preaching. God knows we all need Bible preaching. I need preaching. You need preaching. Our children need preaching. This world needs Bible preaching. Amen. We need it. Right. We've gotten into this come in, dim the lights, turn on the purple and the orange lights, and put on the hard rock music, and get a preacher come out and some T-shirt and blue jeans with tennis shoes and sit on a stool and let me teach a while. Hey, you listen to me. That's not God's way. Stand up and with some authority preach the word of God. Amen. Preach it. Preach it. We need some preaching. Preaching will fire you up. Stir you up. Change you up. We need some preaching. It's teaching stuff. Listen, I'm for teaching, and all preaching ought to teach. But this thing of just coming together and having a little mellow down, lower the lights, and somebody giving a few tidbits, I don't need that. We need some preaching. Amen. By the way, you need it too. You say, preacher, I don't need no preaching. I'm going to tell you what your problem is. You're out in the world. You've gotten so cold and so callous. people think they know it all. I'm going to tell you something now. You are that sheep that has wandered from the fold. And I'm going to tell you now, the lion is lurking right around that rock. And he's getting ready to pounce on you. So you hear the warning this morning from the man of God. Hear me now. Look at what it says here in verse number 28. Take heed to, therefore, unto yourself and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Why, Paul? Verse 29, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. They're coming. I want you to take a highlighter, a pen or something, and circle that phrase, enter in. They're on the outside. And they're trying to get inside. It's my responsibility, not yours. I'll never forget. There was a time when I stood, and I won't go into detail, but I talked to a man who used to attend this church. He told me, I want to have something to do with who you have to come here and preach. And I said, you do. You can pray about it. Amen. You pray about that. See, I'm going to give an account to God who stands behind that desk. I am. And if somebody stands behind that sacred desk and teaches false doctrine, they're going to deal with me. And I'm going to deal with it. Hey, man, you say, well, you sound like you're a bully. I'm not a bully at all. I'm not. But I'm serious about this. Man tried to stand up behind there and not preach the word, he's sitting down.
Amen.
Amen. You open up that Bible and you preach to us. I get uncomfortable when a man don't open his Bible when he steps behind the pulpit. Y'all with me? You say, well, preacher, you not for stories and jokes? Not really. Now I want to hear some preaching. You like preaching? Yeah, I can tell you do. Preaching is what we need. These stories and jokes won't get it. Come Monday morning, you're going to have nothing to fight with. Need some preaching. Preach the word. He said, there's why? He said, because, he said, I'm preached the whole counsel to you. And he said, the reason why, in verse number 29, he said, there's going to be grievous wolves. Isn't that something? Now, we didn't saw the devil. Now, Peter, in 1 Peter, he said what? He said, it's a roaring lion. But notice what Paul said. See, that lion's on the outside. And he's going to come from the outside. These wolves are going to enter in. They're on the outside, but they're going to come in. Sit with you. Sheep's, listen, wolves in sheep's clothing. They're going to come in and say, you know what? That preacher Freeman, he's kind of dogmatic when it comes to the blood of Jesus. You better believe he is. Preacher Freeman's not backing up on the blood of Jesus. The church ought to say amen. That preacher Freeman, he's old-fashioned. He thinks that Jesus was born of a virgin. Listen, you call it what you want. I call it a Bible believer. Amen. That preacher Freeman, he thinks that people ought to tithe. If you're saved, you ought to tithe. That preacher Freeman thinks people ought to be faithful to church. This book teaches that, so I do believe that. Amen. That preacher Freeman thinks people ought to dress right. Women ought to look like women and men ought to look like men and not buy in. But what's going on in this society which we live in is confused about what they are. You ought to be able, listen, at an early age to tell what you are. Amen.
Amen.
That preacher Freeman, he's old-fashioned. As I said, I am old-fashioned, but I am a Bible believer, brethren, a Bible believer.
Amen.
And I'm going to preach the Bible. Well, that preacher Freeman thinks that, you know, if you work in a ministry, you ought to be faithful. I sure do. Preacher Freeman tells us that, you know, if we're saved, we ought to pray. Well, the Bible says that, brethren. What did Paul say here? He said they're going to come in among you, not sparing the flock. Come up, put the armor in. I tell you right now, that preacher Freeman, he'll try to run your life. Well, I tell you, he runs your life at the church. I guess he's going to try to come to your home and try to tell you how to run that too. Somebody needs to tell somebody how to run theirs. From what I'm seeing, amen. Something ain't right, brother. It's something's messed up. So what's got into you, preacher? Oh, I don't know. Maybe the preacher's just getting a little weary and tired of seeing churches fold and God's people mocked and laughed at, preachers running off with their secretaries and piano players. We need some people to stand up on this book right here and understand what our role is.
Amen.
Set a right example. Now, I realize we all are what we are by the grace of God. Brethren, I realize that. And there's none of us above wondering. We're all prone to wonder. How many of you realize that? You say, preacher, before the week's out, I could be wandered away from God. If it were not for the grace of God, you better believe you would. I'm going to close with these thoughts. Look here, we won't get back to 1 Peter, but that's okay. I want to say right here in Acts chapter 20. Notice what he said here now. Verse 29. He said, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in. See, that's the way those cowards are. They wait till the man of God's not around, and then they come up, and they've got something they want to share with you. Got to share something with you. Let me share something. I want to share something with you. If people want to share with you, and it's not coming out of this book, you need to put a halt to it. We're not going to have any false teachings creeping into the church. I could go on and on here, brethren, but I'm not. But I want to tell you something now. I make a vow as your pastor. I vow before God and you. I'm going to protect this sacred desk right here. I want fiery, old-fashioned, straight, spirit-filled preaching from the Word of God coming from here, right here. Amen. We're not going to put a little podium up here. We need something big and heavy that can take a beating. Amen. 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 I challenge you. You go back and you look at the way that some of these men used to preach, and you'd think they was going to start raving crazy. I'll tell you what they were. They were passionate. They were passionate. They believed it. It was real to them. You don't want a man to come in here and just tell you what you want to hear and give him a paycheck and let's kind of dust off and say everything's okay and go on, do you? I know you better than that. I know you better than that. That's not what we're here for. We're not here to play church. We're not here to go through the motions. Brethren, this is real. This is reality. Paul said, I know that when I leave now, the grievous wolves are going to enter in among you, not sparing the flock. So I'm keeping my eyes and my ears open. You do the same. Let's make sure that our teaching's coming from this book. Amen. Look, if you would, in verse number 30. Also, of your own selves shall men arise. That's kind of scary. But it's happened to greater institutions, better places than what God has given us here, though I'm very, very glad and proud to be a part of this church. There's some very good works gone under because somebody rose up within and took them in a different direction. Why? Because they wasn't prepared. They wasn't guarding. They didn't have their spiritual antennas up. They got lax. Don't get lax. Don't get lax with me, brethren. You're the sheep, but don't get lax with me. You say, preacher, we trust you. I'm glad that you do. Listen, I'm going to speak to you from my heart and then I'm going to close. I'm glad that you trust me. We have a love between shepherd and sheep here that, listen, it exceeds many places. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm just so thankful what God has given us here. I'm glad what God's given us here. But now, don't you take this. Number one, don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted and say, well, preacher, it'll always be this way. We'll always come to church here and we'll always get fed. Don't take it for granted. Start laying out on Sunday night. Coming every other Sunday morning. Well, I got things to do. You know, I'm surprised at people who say they're a good Christian. And they're posting on social media. They're over here and over here during church time. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Amen. Taking it for granted. Look what God has done. God did this, brethren. God did this. And the moment we start taking this for granted, we're done. We need to stay humble before the Lord. We need to stay passionate. We need to stay watchful. Don't take for granted what God has done. Don't take it for granted. If for nothing else, let's just meet back tonight and just fall on our face and tell God to have mercy on us. Our country's going to hell on a jet ski. Listen to me. For nothing else, let's meet back and have a prayer meeting and ask God to do something for our children's sake and our grandchildren's sake. Paul said here in verse number 29, verse number 30, he said, also for your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. This is not about me. It's not about Pastor BJ, Pastor David, Pastor Brandon, or any other man or family of this church. This is about Jesus, brethren. We get to the place of where this family's a big shot and that family's a big shot and this family doesn't matter and that family does matter. We're through. God's no longer going to smile. You say, well, preacher, I feel kind of detached from the church. What'd you do wrong? When'd you stop coming? How'd you get detached? Don't blame it on the church. You come as regular as you used to? You pray as often as you used to? Do you minister as often as you used to? See, a lot of people, what they'll do is they'll quit coming to church. And then they'll say, well, I feel detached. Well, I would too if I quit. Wouldn't take me long to feel detached. Stay in church. Get humble before the Lord and say, God, God, help me. God, I've lost my burden. I've wandered from you, Lord, and I need you to help me. I'm struggling. I've been listening to things I shouldn't listen to, and now I feel like I'm in verse number 30 where there's people telling me things, and I'm wondering, is it so or not? Perverse things. Look at verse 31. Therefore, watch. And that's what I'm doing. And I want to encourage you as I bring this message to a close. Would you watch with me? Would you? Would you watch with me? As the pastor of Fellowship Baptist Church, I watch you. I'm to watch for your souls. Read Hebrews 13. I'm to watch. Yes, I'm to win, but I'm to watch. He said, therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not. Would you underline that next word? Warn. Today's message has kind of taken a turn into the warning aspect. Warn. People, I'm amazed at how people do not heed the warnings. It's foolish not to heed a warning. God has sent you here and God has sent me here and God has put this on my heart to warn some of you. Do not dismiss that warning. Do not. Warn. I'm warning you. This is real. Church is not just something you do at your convenience. If you're saved, church ought to be who you are. Verse number 32, he said, now, and this is my recommendation to you. I want you to stand with me and we're going to read this verse 32 together. I've done all I can do. I've studied, I've prayed, I've prepared, I stood up, and I preached my heart to you. And now I leave you with the admonition and the encouragement that Paul left this flock with. These elders, to take back to their flocks. And he said this, and now, look at verse 32, look at it. And now, brethren, I commend you to God. And I commend you to God. I do often in my prayer closet. In time that I spend around my desk, I bow my head and I commend you to God. And I say, God, I can't do anything about this situation, but God, you can. I commend him to you. God, I commend her. I commend them to you. Today, I commend you afresh. What is it with you, sir? Backslid in your heart, cold, indifferent. Family's gone ever kind of direction, and you're wondering, what in the world has happened in my life? You wondered from the flock, didn't you? Now you're wondering. That old lion pounced on you, and he is ravishing you. Why don't you come back today? Why don't you come back today? I commend you to God. God loves you. God wants to restore you. I don't know what's broke and what needs mending. I don't know how far you've drifted, but I know this. There's a God in heaven who loves you and who will receive you. And if you could just see visibly as he awaits you, he is standing up here this morning with open arms saying, come. Come. Return unto the bishop of your soul. Come back, he's saying. I commend you to God. Now notice what else he said. Verse number 32. And to the word of his grace. And here's three things God's going to do for you if you'll do what he said right here. If you'll say, God, I'm all yours. And I'm going to abide by your word. Number one, he said, I'm going to strengthen you. He said, because it's able to build you up. Some of you need to be strengthened today. You're weak. Well, sheep, as we've already seen, are weak. And there's just time to time we need some strengthening, don't we? I know I do. Are you there this morning? Don't stand there in your seat and just stand there. Come back. Say, God, I'm weak. But God, I know you're strong. I need you to strengthen me. I need you to build me up. Number two, not only will he strengthen you, he will secure you. Notice what he said, and give you an inheritance. God will remind you who you belong to and where you're going. Sometimes, brethren, that's good enough for me. I just need to be reminded whose I am and where I'm going. How about you? And then finally, he said, he will sanctify you. He said, which are sanctified. God will set you apart. God will take you where you are, and he'll set you apart to where you need to be. And say, now you can go back to work for me. What about it? The shepherd and the sheep. This Pastor's Appreciation Month, I pray that God will allow us to keep looking in the Scripture and understand what we're doing here is not just filling time or filling out a religious time card. Brethren, we're here at church to worship, to grow, to learn, to serve, to make a difference. And I believe that's why most of you are here today. Some of you had slipped some. And you need to get that right. I can't do it for you. Your neighbor can't do it for you. But Jesus will be waiting up here at the altar if you're willing to do it for yourself and turn it over to him. He'll do it for you. Let's bow our heads together. The Lord.